Let's open in a word of prayer. And now, Father, as we gather before you this morning around the sacred scriptures, we pray that you would give our minds clarity of thought, and that your Spirit would work in our lives to demonstrate to us where we have fallen short in keeping your word. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen. On October 31st,
1517,
Martin Luther stood up against the practices of the Catholic Church and he nailed 95 theses on the Church of the Door of Wittenberg. But something happened to Martin Luther a couple of years before. He was a young man who received a doctorate of theology from the university. And he was a priest. And he went to visit Rome. And while he was in Rome, he was meeting the other priests who could say the Mass much quicker than anyone else could. And Luther was disturbed by this. Disturbed that he could not be the one giving grace as fast as these people could. And he began to see how the structure of the Roman Catholic Church was put together. And when he returned to Germany, he was assigned to teach two different classes. One class on the Book of Psalms, and one on the Book of Romans. Now, during that time, it was customary to read all of the commentators and all of the fathers and read what they would say about those books. And these writings became the foundation for their lectures. But Luther, being a man of the Renaissance, he was taught that you go back to the sources. And so he said, if I'm going to teach the Book of Romans, I might as well read the Book of Romans. And so when he got to Romans chapter 1, he read the verse, "The just shall live by faith." And instantly he was converted. And he believed that all of these things that the Catholic Church was doing with the handing out of grace, it was absolutely wrong. In this passage that we just read in Luke 13, these sayings of Christ are given to answer a specific question asked in
23.
And the question to me is absolutely fascinating.
It
says in verse 23, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved?" Why does it seem as if the population of the kingdom of heaven is small and shrinking? Why does it seem as if the church of Jesus Christ is getting less and less effective in a more and more wicked world? And Christ gives part of the answer here. There are many people within the church. There are many people who claim to be the children of God. That when it comes to the day of judgment, they will stand up and say, Lord, we have eaten in your presence. That they have taught in his name. And Christ says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Could you imagine that? Thinking that you're living your life for Jesus Christ. And you stand before him in judgment day and he says, I never knew you. It seems strong. It seems harsh. But turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, and behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, and to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall no more go out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, that comes down from the heaven of my God. I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
圣灵像众教会所说的话，凡有耳的就应当听。
This is not an easy passage to interpret. The letter to the Church of Philadelphia settles around this concept of an open door. One of the views of the seven churches is that it's a line and an extension of church history from the present from the ancient times until now. The church of Ephesus is supposed to be the church at the end of the apostolic age. The church of Smyrna is the persecuted church until the time of the Emperor Constantine, who ends the persecution. The churches of Pergamum and Thyatira are really the rise of the Roman Catholic Church until approximately AD 1500. The Church of Sardis is historically described as the Church of the Reformation. And the Church of Philadelphia is often seen as the church from the late 1700s until the present day, where the open door is the great missionary sending of the church. And so this would be argued from passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9.
1 Corinthians 16:9,
where Paul speaks of his preaching and he says, "A great door, an effectual one, is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Second Corinthians chapter 2:12. Paul came up to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. And in Colossians chapter 4:3. Colossians 4:3. With all praying also for us that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So there are many that claim that this church in Philadelphia had some kind of open door to the gospel of great missionary and evangelistic work. But I don't think that this is the case. One of the many themes that we have seen running through the seven churches of Revelation is an absolute need for the believer to persevere in faith and obedience until the end. And so I would relate the door here to John chapter 10. John recording the words of Jesus in Revelation
3
is the same John who's recording the words of Jesus in John chapter
10.
John chapter 10 is built off the context of John chapter 9. Where there's a man who's born blind. And in order to heal him, Jesus makes mud, which is considered a sin by the Pharisees on the Sabbath day. And this blind man becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "This one thing I know, I was once blind, but now I see." And in John 9:38, he says, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped. And this whole event happens in order for Jesus to bring up this topic of discussion in John chapter 10. Where he speaks of the shepherd who knows his sheep. And he explains his parable in verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture." And so I would relate the door of John chapter 10 to the same door of Revelation chapter
3.
And so in John 10, the door is Jesus himself. And the doorway leads to salvation and eternal life and entrance into the kingdom of God. And so in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, we begin with a description of Christ as the divine doorman. And there are four descriptions of Christ in this passage. It first of all says, "He that is holy." And this is really emphasizing the deity of Christ. When you get to Isaiah chapter 6, and Isaiah has a vision of the Lord seated in heaven. The song that is being sung in heaven is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." The same refrain is repeated in Revelation chapter
4.
And so the ultimate descriptor of the one and true living God of heaven is that he is holy. He's separated, he's distinct from his creation. There's nothing else and no one else like him in the universe. And so here, Jesus is described in describing himself as holy. He describes himself as true. You remember what Jesus said of himself, "I am the way, the truth and the life.
你记得耶稣基督他说他自己是真理、道路和生命。
And so not only is it that all of the words that he speaks are true, is that he is the embodiment of truth within human flesh. The third description. It says, he who has the key of David. Now the key of David is related to the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, there's a promise that's made to David by God. And the promise is that there is one who will reign on the Davidic throne. And that there is coming a Davidic king greater than any other Davidic king whose rule will have no end. And so this is proclaiming the rule of Jesus Christ on earth, that he is the one who has the key to the door of the kingdom. It's a future kingdom. And this is the door that he can open and that no man shuts, and that he can shut and that no man opens. And I would see this as a picture of election. That to some, the door of salvation is open. So in verse 8, there's a condemnation of the church, a commendation of the church. He begins by saying, I know thy works. It's a statement that's common to most of the churches in this passage of Scripture. And to me, it's fascinating that there's nothing negative said about this church. There's not a tolerance of sin and a call for discipline. There's no tolerance of sin and promise of judgment. It's a church that seems to be doing everything right. And this is a church that in and of itself has little strength. Perhaps they are small in size. Perhaps they are physically weak. Perhaps they've been impoverished. But because that they are a weak church, Christ sets in front of them this open door. But this church has done some other things that are positive. It says they have kept my word. They've guarded, they've been obedient to the word of God. Let me just ask a question. If Christ were to walk through that door and stand behind this pulpit In your honest opinion,
你诚实的来看的话,
do you think he could say to you as an individual,
你认为他会对你作为一个个人来说，他会对你讲,
do you think he could say to the church as a whole,
或者他对整个一个教会作为一个整体，他会讲,
oh church, you have kept my word.
教会啊，你遵守了，你曾遵守了我的道。
It says also, you have not denied my name.
但这里也说你没有弃绝我的名。
And like most of the churches found in this book,
像在这本书里面看到的很多的教会,
this is a persecuted church.
这个教会经历很多的逼迫。
And even though that they are a persecuted church,
尽管他们被逼迫,
they have still stood strong for Christ, even though it may have cost them their lives. And because that they are a weak church, because they have kept the word, because they have not denied the name of Christ, there is this open door in front of them. There is an entrance available to the future kingdom of God that is yet to come. But as we're going to see, that door is open, but it's not necessarily guaranteed. There is a promise to the church in verses 9 and 10. It says in verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee.
说那撒旦议会的自称是犹太人，其实不是犹太人，乃是说谎话的。我要使他们来在你脚前下拜，也使他们知道我是已经爱你了。
The persecution of this church during this time,
这个教会在那个时候他们所经历的这样的逼迫患难,
is not something that's carried out by the Roman government.
不是当时的罗马的政府给他们的,
it's being carried out by the local Jewish authorities and population. One of the things that is promised to the church throughout the letters of Paul First Corinthians 6, they will rule over the angels and they will judge angels. There are other passages that say that they are joint heirs with Christ. There's a passage that says that they will reign with Christ. And so sometime in this future kingdom, these Jewish persecutors will be ruled by this church. And they will know that I have loved thee. Paul in Romans chapter 10 and 11 describes the conversion of the Gentiles as done in order to make the Jewish people jealous. The Jewish people were those who had the word of God. Yet they did not keep the word of God. The Church of Philadelphia was a church that had the word of God, and thus kept the word of God, and is thus rewarded. Says in verse 10, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which will, shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, in order to understand this verse,
为了要理解这段,这节经文,
there's a number of things that need to be understood behind it in the nature of a timeline. Our church doctrinal statement states that Christ will return and set up his kingdom. That is to say, we believe that Jesus, his return, is before the millennial kingdom as described in Revelation
19 and 20.
Now, in the book of Daniel,
在但以理书,
turn over to Daniel, please.
请翻开但以理书,
Daniel chapter 7.
但以理书第七章,
Daniel 7, Daniel's having a dream of the history of the major world empires.
这里讲到但以理,他夜里见到异象,他做了一个梦,就是看到历史当中那些主要的那些帝国,
from the time of Babylon until the times of the end.
And
the four major empires, the lion, which is Babylon, the bear, which is Medo-Persia, the leopard, which is Alexander the Great and Greece, and the terrible beast, which is going to be described as Rome. And the Roman Empire has two parts. One part that has already happened, and another part that is yet future. Within this future empire, verse
7,
there is a beast in the end. It has 10 horns, verse 8. I considered the horns. There came up from among them a little horn.
他说这个第七节里面讲到这个时候他有十个角在头上然后第八节这里讲到了这个其中又长出一个小角了。This
passage is explained in verse 20.
然后这一段是在第十二节他给出了解释。There
is a horn that has eyes in a mouth and speaks great things, whose look was more stout than its fellows. I beheld the same war. The same made war against the saints and prevailed against them.
但以理书第七章二十到二十一节，头有十角和那命长的一角，这角前有三角被他打落，这角有眼又说夸大话的口，形状强横，过于他的同类。我观看见这角与圣民征战，胜了他们。There
is a time coming when there's a revived ruler of the Roman Empire who's known for his persecution of the saints. Until, verse 22, the Ancient of Days come, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess this future kingdom. And so in verse 27, the kingdom and dominion, the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, is given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.
So,
Turn over to Daniel chapter 9.
然后请翻到但以理书第九章。
So Daniel 7 teaches us that there is this future kingdom, but there's a time of persecution before it.
所以说但以理书第七章教导我们说这里将来会来的一个发生的事情会有一个国然后他会逼迫一个王会逼迫神的圣名但是最后会有神的国一直到永远。Daniel
9 verse 24.
但以理书第九章二十四节。
70 weeks, and this word week is 7, are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for the iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy.
这是说为你国本国之民和你圣城已经定了七十个期，要止住罪过，除尽罪恶，赎尽罪孽，引进永义。 公主意象和预言,
so the period of time for the people of Israel,
就是对以色列民来说有一段时间,
from the command to rebuild the holy city,
从发命出来要重建圣城,
probably during the days of Nehemiah,
可能就是在尼西米那段时候,
until the end is 70 periods of 7. From the point, verse 25, of the command to rebuild Jerusalem and until the coming of Messiah the Prince, there are 69 weeks.
有69个期,
69 periods of 7 years.
也就是说, 69个七年的时间, 这里一个七是讲七年。
And so the 70th week
然后在70个期里面,
is listed in verse 27.
在27节这里讲到的,
it says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst, the halfway point, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to seek the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that determined upon the desolate.
这里讲到了27节,一期之内他必与许多人坚定盟约,一期之半他必使祭司和贡献止息,那行毁坏可憎的如飞而来,并且有愤怒请在那行毁坏的身上,直到所定的结局。
So there's coming a point in time,
所以说会有一个时间来到,
where the Jewish people will be restored to their temple, they'll be making sacrifices,
犹太人他们会被恢复,然后他们在他们的圣殿里面,然后向神献祭,
and there will be a 7-year period of time of great suffering for the people of God, both Jews and Christians.
但是会有七年的一个被逼迫的时间,包括了犹太人,神的,也包括了神的这些信徒,
well, at the very least for Jews. And so this is the time that's known as the time of Jacob's troubles.
It's
described in the Old Testament as the day of the Lord. It's a time of great sorrow, a time of great pain. It's described as a period of testing, a period of suffering. But if you look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 10,
但是如果你看到启示录第三章第十节的话,
Revelation 3, verse 10,
启示录第三章第十节,
from this time of suffering,
这段受苦的这段试炼的时间,
it says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which has come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. In other words, there's coming a point in time when Christ is going to remove his church so it does not take place through this suffering.
也就是说有一个时间会来到, 基督会把他的教会提起来,
This time of suffering is really what makes up the rest of the, most of the rest of the book of Revelation. And after Revelation chapter 3, verses 20, verse 22, we don't see the church again until Revelation chapter
21.
It does not take place in the suffering. Part of the promise to the church that perseveres and lives as they ought to is a removal from this time and period of suffering. It's thus a premillennial kingdom and a pre-tribulational rapture. The church who perseveres is kept from the suffering and from the testing that God has promised to pour out on the earth. However, there is a command to the church in verse 11. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast that which you have, so that no man may take thy crown." The means of salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. But true living faith is carried alongside of Christian obedience. If you are a believer, you will persevere in faith in good works. You will be growing in obedience. Now, that does not mean that you won't occasionally sin. And it does not mean that when you sin, that you don't need to do anything. But yes, you still need to confess your sin before God. But if you don't find yourself in your Christian life, consistently at least striving to live in a manner that's pleasing to God, you may need to examine yourself. Because you may not be a believer. There is an open door for the church to persevere through. But if you're not persevering, you won't make it through that door in the end. You're demonstrating to yourself. You're demonstrating to God. And you're demonstrating to the church that you're not a believer. And so he says, hold fast. So that you don't lose what you have. So in verse 12, we have a description of the overcomer. He's unmovable. The one who overcomes is made a pillar in the temple of God. He shall go no more out. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name.
And
Look at Revelation chapter 19.
我们看启示录第19章。
Beginning in verse 11.
11节,
and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew but he himself. He was clothed in a vesture dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
我观看见天开了，有一匹白马，骑在马上的称为诚信真实，他审判征战都按着公义，他的眼睛如火焰，他头上戴着许多冠冕，又有写着的名字，除了他自己没有人知道，他穿着沾了血的衣服，他的名称为
Verse 16, he had on his garment and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
16节在他衣服和大腿上有名写着说, 万王之王, 万主之主。
That name,
那个名字,
if you persevere,
如果你持守的话,
If you're living your life in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer,
如果你的生命当中你不断的持守，你过你的生命是蒙神喜悦的生命，作为基督，因为是基督的信徒。
There's a unity that you have with Christ.
你将来会跟基督一起合一。
And it's so much of a unification that Christ declares Himself, if you persevere, this is your name. My name is your name.
那样的合一是如此的合一，也就是基督在这边描述说，我的名字我会也写在你们上面。
And He says that this new name is also related to the New Jerusalem. Look over at Revelation 21.
这里讲到这个新名也跟新耶路撒冷一样有关系。Beginning in verse 1.
Says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
我又看见一个新天新地，因为先前的天地已经过去了，海也不再有了。我又看见圣城新耶路撒冷由神那里从天而降，预备好了，就如新妇装饰整齐等候丈夫。我听见有大声音从宝座出来说：“看哪，神的帐幕在人间，他要与人同住，他们要做他的子民，神要亲自与他们同在，做他们的神。” 神要擦去他们一切的眼泪，不再有死亡，也不再有悲哀、哭嚎、疼痛，因为以前的事都过去了。然后宝座说：“看哪，我将一切都更新了。”又说：“你要写上，因这些话是可信的，是真实的。”And
then look at verses 6 and 7.
然后看第六节第七节。
It says, He said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
他又对我说，都成了。我是阿拉法，我是欧米伽，我是初，我是终。 我将生命泉的水白白赐给那口渴的人喝，得胜的必承受这些为业。我要做他的神，他要做我的儿子。
If you're a believer,
如果你是信徒,
if you claim to be a believer,
如果你声称你是信徒,
and you live your life in an obedient manner to Christ,
如果你的生命是顺服基督的生命,
and if you persevere in faith and good works,
你在信心和善行上面持守的话,
you inherit all things.
你会承受这所有的,
you are the Son of God.
你是神的儿子,
this new Jerusalem, this ultimate peace, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, that's all yours.
这个新的耶路撒冷, 没不但有疼痛哭嚎眼泪, 所有的这些更新的,
the Christian life, yes, can be painful. Yes, it can be difficult. But the rewards,
但是那赏赐,
so much more outweigh the pain. So much more outweigh the suffering. In the end,
末了的时候,
you're rewarded with God Himself. Where Jesus and your relationship with Him is your reward. Isn't that enough? Let's close in word of prayer. Father, that which your word says to us is clear. That as a church you desire for us to hold fast and to keep your word. And Father, I pray that you would turn our eyes inward. That we would look at ourselves and examine our own lives. That we would look closely at our church. And that we would begin to ask ourselves, how is our church looking before your Son? Give us eyes to see the verdict that your Son would place upon our church. And give us the grace and the ability to change what needs to change in our lives so that we are pleasing to you. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen.